What's cracking, y'all? Season 1 of Hooker Gate just started, and we're excited to share this forgotten scandal with you. We're also excited to tell you that you can now get exclusive bonus episodes and early access to new episodes of the show through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. iHeart True Crime Plus is the best place to get 100% ad-free episodes of Hooker Gate, plus other true crime shows you love, like The Piketon Massacre, Atlanta Monster, What Happened to Sandy Beal, and Sympathy Pains. So don't wait. New episodes are waiting for you. Subscribe to iHeart True Crime Plus today, exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know that it takes two people to make a prostitute. You can't lay all the blame on the woman. You can't do it.
A young reporter drove his family from the nation's capital to a small town about 4 hours south. His wife beside him, his children in the back. Rodney had a family to support, a woman who believed in him, who followed him on his wild journeys. Sweet little kids with chubby smiles that pierced his heart with the reminder, there is more than yourself to think of here. You promised this wife that you could make it as a writer anywhere. You promised her this move would be worth it. You owe this family everything. No one owes you anything, and yet they've given freely. Their patience, their faith, cooked dinners kept warm in the oven. I love you, daddies, even as your mind spun into stories. Copy. Headlines. Be present with these children. Give a good life to this wife. There were imperatives more important than your damn career, Rodney thought. And yet, nonetheless, he drove on. Metropolitan streets spinning into fields of tobacco. Rodney needed to make this work. After all, he thought. He also had himself to whom he owed quite a bit. Couldn't forget about that guy. Hard-working kid, a dreamer, a risk-taker. You should be a writer, his high school English teacher told him once. He never forgot that. And so, over the weeks to come, he'd set up shop in that small office in that small town. He'd let his view of the cows in the field inspire him. Each one of those bovines had a different set of spots, a different story. Hell, maybe they even had feelings. Probably did. After some time, Rodney even had little names for his favorites. Could identify them by flip of ear or turn of tail. You could make a story about almost anything if you only looked at it in the right way. See? That was the thing people missed about his line of work, his field of art. They think it's all bald reportage, a mere recitation of facts that any willing party could pen. They don't know that the writer is a photographer of moments, a seer of meaning in scenes others find mundane. Rodney could find a story in just about anything. When I spoke to him in early 2022, he told me about one such occurrence.
It's Slow News Week. A couple of people walking in the office and started telling me this story about the one guy had been a intelligence officer during World War II. And he was driving from Gretna to Danville. Noticed this kind of commotion on the side of the road. Stops, walk over this little hill, and there's a flying saucer. So he goes into great detail about this, and I, of course, taking meticulous notes. After he finishes, I'm thinking very much. I'm like, wow, kind of entertaining. And you start calling people, and the number of people that have heard this story was phenomenal. I wrote the story and used the clip art of a flying saucer. Got a huge reaction to it.
As yet another lady at church inquired about that UFO, Rodney thought, well, the types of stories I cover out here in the country might look a little different than the high-stakes drama I covered in Washington, but... well, I might just like it that way. You wouldn't find any Greek tragedies or epic intrigue out here in the boondocks. But if you could, Rodney would be the man to find it.
Truck stop brothels run by a web of ex-cons. A Commonwealth attorney wasted on whiskey and power. Protection exchanged for cash and flesh. A brash local reporter exposing it all. This is Hookergate, criminals and libertines in the South. And I am your host, Dr. Lindsay Byron, author, historian, and lifelong wayward woman. This forgotten scandal happened in my hometown. Join me as I use crumbling news clippings, interviews, and dramatic reenactments to bring to life for the first time in nearly 50 years this wild ride of hedonistic corruption.
Episode 2. This woman was different. In a 2019 article for The Atlantic entitled The Reinvention of Danville, author James Fallow describes the region that would play host to juicier dramas than Rodney could have yet foreseen. Danville is a major city within Pennsylvania County, Fallow writes. In its day, it was one of the richest places in the Piedmont area and a major center of first the tobacco and then the textile industries. Danville was also, for a one-week period in April 1865, the final capital of the Confederacy, with implications down to the present. By the mid-20th century, Danville and the surrounding area clutched still to its Confederate roots. However, another major source of identity came from the local textile mill, a global industry leader, the Great White Mill, with its glowing red letters, looms over the memories of my childhood. Home of Dan River Mills, those letters burned into the night, reflecting on the dark water below. Home. The mill's influence was wide-ranging and profound, Fallow writes. Businesses in the area discouraged higher education and brought in workers straight out of public schools.
I admit we are backward,
you'll remember local court clerk Samuel Swanson conceded at the time of the federal indictment in 1977.
We've never had to progress.
For those looking from the outside in, this backwardsness found its source not in issues of class, education, or labor, but rather in the area's conservatism and religiosity.
Danville's nickname, after all, is the City of Churches. While researching Hookergate, I interviewed lifelong Pennsylvania County citizen Frankie Jones, whose father, Austin Jones, served on the grand jury that would ultimately indict the major players of the Hookergate scandal. Frankie told me about a time in which his father was confronted by a national reporter regarding the character of the place we all called home.
He had a Washington Post reporter lady come up to him in a gathering when he was state vice president of the Virginia Association of Realtors. And she said, "Where are you from?" He said, "Dan." Well, he said, "May I ask you a question, honestly?" He said, "Sure." She said, "Why are y'all so damn conservative down there?" He said, "Young lady, let me tell you something." He said, "You weren't born in the Depression." He said, "Back then, we didn't have a welfare department. Our church was our welfare department."
Here in the Bible Belt, where conservatism and old-time religion retained its hold on the area's sense of self, the brothels seemed to have functioned as the locality's id, the outlet for the repressed desires and needs of a people otherwise busy with church socials.
The big shot in Danville was Barker. I can't remember his first name, but Tom Barker. He ran the Danville operation.
Now, Mr. Barker, what contact did you have with Harold Wayne Dowdy, Herbert Owen Boyd, and Aubrey Henderson during the years 1974 to 1977?
Well, Janet worked at those places for them.
And she was your wife during much of that period, is that correct?
Yes.
All right. What kind of work was she doing?
She was a prostitute.
Tommy sat up in bed.
"You and me, Janet, we can make some damn money,"
he told the naked woman next to him. She was much younger than him, but every bit as wise. Janet pulled the sheets to her armpits and sat up. She lit a joint before she replied,
"Yeah, let's make some damn money."
At 19, Janet had only one hard and fast rule, and that was to live hard and fast. If she had a second rule, which she didn't, it would be also be sweet. That's how a woman could get what she wanted.
"It wouldn't be so bad,"
Tommy told her, gingerly accepting the joint from her slender fingers.
"And I wouldn't mind." "You wouldn't?" "I want to move us out of this trailer park and into a house. A nice brick house, Janet. A big one, too. Imagine it. I promise you that."
Tommy had come from a big family with little attention nor money to spare. He tried the straight route. Hell, he'd served in the military until he shot himself in the arm trying to kill a snake. Some folks claimed he did it on purpose just because now he collected a pension from Uncle Sam. The pension wasn't enough, though, and so he sought out other ways to stack cash. A freedom-loving man with a passion for excitement, Tommy wasn't the type to be pinned down by a square job. So he tried other things. Sure, a little robbery here and there. Silver pilfered from the homes of the rich, steaks from the chop house, hard, sweaty, secret work. So accustomed was he to making money the wrong way that it won't nothing to invite another into this way of life. And Janet, to be fair, was no child. No, she was a woman with her own mind. The truck stop enterprise was only the latest opportunity. Hell, there'd be others in the future, opportunities that wouldn't require so much of her. But to get there, they had to start here. He traced a finger along her jaw.
You are so smart.
He kissed her temple.
So strong.
He stamped out the joint and climbed on top of her again. He would never get his fill of this woman. Many women had come his way. Many had laid in this bed. When he first asked Janet for her number after weeks of tipping her heavy for coffee and pie, he figured, well, she'd just be another notch on the bedpost. But something about her was different. Something about the way she popped her bubble gum while she busied herself around that diner, head high and unaffected by the stares of interested men, drove him mad with desire. And he was different too. 3 weeks had passed since they first kissed, made love, and professed undying devotion all in the same night. Her body ached from the now frequent acceptance of him, a big man in always mind-blowing, a primal sign of a king. Janet was in love.
I can do anything,
she promised him, nose to nose. Anything in life worth having, she knew, required some sacrifice. Ain't nothing for free. Not this man, not this love, and certainly not the rent.
I know that's right,
he agreed.
What's cracking, y'all? Season 1 of Hooker Gate just started, and we're excited to share this forgotten scandal with you. We're also excited to tell you that you can now get exclusive bonus episodes and early access to new episodes of the show through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. iHeart True Crime Plus is the best place to get 100% ad-free episodes of Hooker Gate, plus other true crime shows you love, like The Piketon Massacre, Atlanta Monster, What Happened to Sandy Beal, and Sympathy Pains. So don't wait. New episodes are waiting for you. Subscribe to iHeart True Crime Plus today, exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature, and of course, we'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table, because geek culture is pop culture, and we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
After they finished their second round, Tommy picked up the phone.
Hey, Herb. I got a girl for y'all.
Do you remember when Robin arrived from Chicago, Mr. Dowdy?
I don't remember the exact month. It was in 75.
No one introduced you at all, did they?
No, they did not.
All right. Where did you meet her?
At Ed's truck stop.
Was she a working girl at that time?
She was a prostitute.
Who employed her?
I did.
He'd spent his life loving Southern women, indeed, extolling their virtues. A Southern woman would cook for you, clean for you, take care of your needs, and do it all with that slow, sweet drawl. Yet, there was something about this woman's accent, the clipped vowels, the quick harshness of her cadence, that turned Harold Wayne into mush. Into mush, a man like him, impossible. But this woman was different.
Where are you from?
He asked, leaning across the counter. He had a rule about dating working girls, and anyways, he wasn't exactly a free man. Robin ignored him, staring instead at her nails, which she filed. Harold Wayne cleared his throat.
Where are you from?
She didn't look up, and she responded.
I'm here in this truck stop now, so what does it matter where I'm from?
Ah, a quick-witted one.
An attitude like that might not get you far.
The young woman stopped her filing and met his gaze.
I've gotten quite far, exactly as I am,
she answered and returned to her manicure.
And by the way,
she added without looking up,
Chicago. I'm from Chicago.
Ah, Chicago. That's why she was so disarmingly unmannered.
Your accent is beautiful,
he dared. How? Why? What the hell was the reason that this woman made him nervous?
That's one I don't hear often,
she responded.
These good old boys down south are prejudiced against Northerners. Folks say they can't understand me. Well, the feeling's mutual. Honey? Some of these GOBs couldn't be stupider if their heads was cut off.
At this, the young woman laughed. Flashed him at last. That sly grin that would addict him for years to come.
I'm Robin,
she told him. Harold Wayne was used to lining him up and knocking him down. A salesman by trade and by heart, the man could charm the most aloof, unavailable woman. Hell, he seduced a score of premium chickadees under his employment in just the short time he'd been running this scheme. But something about the upward tilt of Robin's chin and the knowing in her eyes told Harold Wayne that this one was gonna be a challenge.
How long you been working here?
He asked.
Well, hell, you ought to know, Mr. Dowdy. You run the place. Sure, but I don't handle everything. Phyllis takes care of hiring sometimes. Phyllis, is she your old lady?
HWD cleared his throat again.
Are you new to this line of work? I am not, in fact, Mr. Dowdy. I've probably been in this game longer than you. Please, call me Harold Wayne. Sure thing, Harold Wayne. And you're too young to have been in any game longer than me. I might be young,
she answered.
but only if you were using the metric of time. By other metrics, I am quite old.
Harold Wayne, of course, was the old one. At 40, he was fully twice Robin's age. Yet he, too, was only his age when using the metric of time, because otherwise, he was as youthful as any young buck.
Okay, old soul, where else have you worked? I have traveled all over the country. Well, can you give me a few examples? Indiana, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Virginia, Tennessee, Illinois. That's a whole lot of moving around. Yes, sir, it sure is. Please. None of this sir stuff.
As Harold Wayne leaned over the counter, asking questions one by one to unravel the mystery of this smart-mouthed young lady, a smile grew beneath that thick black mustache of his. What music did she like? What books did she enjoy? Where was her family? With each inquiry, she opened further. The bus ride from Chicago had been a long one. Robin hadn't had the funds for a flight. On that bus trip, she'd concocted a plan to make so much money that she'd never have to take a bus again. People really thought this line of work consisted simply of lying on one's back, a feat any willing woman could accomplish. What they didn't know was that the working girl was a psychologist, storyteller, actress, and living work of art at the same damn time. These men don't just walk in the back with any old gal. You gotta examine them, understand them, find out what tempts them. Then, having gathered the data, a working girl must then become that thing he desires, if only for an hour, if only for 10 minutes. Sorcery, magic, artistry. Obscure yourself and become a fantasy. Do not underestimate a woman like me, thought Robin. The world would never pat her on the back for her success, Snake Charming. And yet, sometimes she longed for a pat on the back. She was, after all, human. A customer stumbled into the lobby and tripped over the leg of a bar stool. Robin looked to HWD. He met her gaze.
Don't worry about him. I'd rather you spend the time talking right here with me.
When she looked concerned by that suggestion, her mind adding and subtracting the sum she'd counted on that long bus ride here, Harold Wayne reassured her.
I'll pay you for your time. Right out of my own pocket. You simply fascinate me.
What's cracking, y'all? Season 1 of Hooker Gate just started, and we're excited to share this forgotten scandal with you. We're also excited to tell you that you can now get exclusive bonus episodes and early access to new episodes of the show through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. iHeart True Crime Plus is the best place to get 100% ad-free episodes of Hooker Gate, plus other true crime shows you love, like The Piketon Massacre, Atlanta Monster, What Happened to Sandy Beal, and Sympathy Pains. So don't wait. New episodes are waiting for you. Subscribe to iHeart True Crime Plus today, exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature, and of course, we'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table, because geek culture is pop culture, and we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, what we are trying to prove, and what we expect to prove, is this. That these operators, and I am going to call them operators, Dowdy, Barker, Henderson, and Boyd, utilized interstate facilities, such as airports, bus terminals, and telephone, to further their prostitution activities. In addition, they actually traveled interstate themselves to promote and manage their interest in these houses of prostitution.
The streetlights sped by, reflected in the lenses of Buckeye's glasses.
Look for my girlfriend when you land,
Tommy had told her over the phone.
She'll be the pretty one in the white tank top waving out the car window.
A short flight from Ohio to North Carolina, and Buckeye was in the back seat of a sedan with two strangers crossing the state line into Virginia. The man had promised to take care of her, but she was a kid and scared. What might be the consequences of her impulsive recklessness? Why did she convince her friend to make that call? She leaned her head against the window and searched the evening landscape as they rattled over Smurf Bridge. A small waterfall, a great mill hulking over the river, broken windows black like missing teeth, red letters spelling home into the night.
So this is Stanville,
she said.
You won't be working exactly in Danville,
Tommy hollered back from the front seat.
Honey, turn the music down,
Janet chided and lowered the volume on the Skynyrd.
You won't be exactly in Danville,
Tommy continued, quieter now.
There's too much potential trouble to mess with the city proper. You're just gonna be like a mile or two into the county. See, the folks in charge of the county are a whole lot friendlier than them in the city. But anyways, yeah. This is Danville. This is kind of the big city around here.
Buckeye counted 10 identical mill houses in a row and thought,
this don't look too much like the big city, but okay.
What was she doing here? Sometimes we make a decision from a distance.
We make plans based upon a terrain we cannot yet see. We decide, yes, I can do this thing. And we imagine in our hearts a scenario we cannot predict with our minds. There will be new opportunity and adventure on the other side of this decision we imagine, and then one day we find ourselves on the actual other side of this decision to see instead a muddy river, a mill missing teeth, and evil red letters burning home into the night. Buckeye peeled her cheek off the window, straightened her spine. She'd faced worser things than a missing toothed mill in her life. What had the hardships been worth, if not to harden her to any challenge, to rub a callus on her spirit, strengthen her against any trial?
Don't worry,
Tommy told her.
Oh, I'm not worried. You trying to convince you or me?
He laughed. Janet swatted his arm. She looked over her shoulder at Buckeye and smiled.
It ain't bad. At least that's what I hear. I'm about to start up too, but at another location than you.
Mrs. Barker, can you tell me how was your employment at the Hillcrest Health Center arranged? To your knowledge?
Through my husband, then my boyfriend.
Okay. Now, when was this approximately?
It would be late fall of 72, approximately 2 or 3 weeks after the health center was opened.
All right. What was the nature of his operation when it started? What were your instructions?
I was instructed by Mr. Boyd that we were only to give hand relief.
Mm-hmm.
But the nature of that was really for his own defense.
Why do you say that?
I was told that it was just supposed to be strictly a massage parlor.
Right.
But during the conversation, he winked and said that I was to give up half of my money, and I asked him why. And he said that my half of the money went towards things that needed to be bought for the health center and for my own protection and for a lawyer in case we was to get busted. I didn't understand that because if we were supposed to be doing something legal, why would we need a lawyer?
When you first worked there, it was already a house of prostitution.
I never gave any massages.
Uh-huh.
That would be a waste of my time.
You'll work in 12-hour shifts. 12 hours on, 12 hours off.
Aubrey explained as Janet unpacked her overnight bag in a small room among a hallway of small rooms in the back of the Hillcrest Health Center. In the lobby, Herbert organized wads of cash into separate envelopes.
When you're on,
Aubrey continued,
you'll make yourself available to the gentlemen who enter the lounge. We are, of course, open 24 hours. You'd be surprised at the strange time we get callers. Truck drivers, of course, they awake at all hours. We got one regular who comes in at 6:30 a.m. every Tuesday. Now, who else can say that? Our customers are very loyal when you treat them right. You just look pretty, just same as you do now. Smile at the boys, make them feel at ease, and you're going to do just fine.
Janet had done just fine. At least, that was the impression she had gotten after her first customer. Tricks, the girls called him. In that small room, alone with that small man, she had moved her body in ways she'd done with other men. Men she loved, or at least liked, underneath the bleachers at homecoming or in the car at drive-in. But with the trick, whom she didn't love nor like, she found her body could move just the same, as long as her mind was somewhere else, somewhere other than this twin bed and this dark room and this squat cinder block building on the side of the highway, picturing in her head the face of her beloved,
transposing him over every inch of this stranger, Janet had been able to get the job done quicker and with less distress than she thought possible. Everyone deserves affection, she told herself. Everyone ought to feel good. This was a job, just like any other job, merely a meeting of needs. The client needed her touch, and she needed his cash. If the trade was not legal, it was nonetheless ethical. She spent longer in the bathroom washing the man off of her than she spent getting him on her in the first place. Yeah, she thought. She could do this. She'd been training for this all the days of her life. When she'd finished with the first man, she handed half of the money to Aubrey and he'd filed it into an envelope, and then she did it again and again and again for 12 hours straight. And then she decided to make an egg sandwich. It was, after all, breakfast time. Entering the kitchen, Janet came upon a melee of young women laughing as they moved around one another in a concert of cooking. Indeed, there were so many girls in that small room that it was downright crowded. A dozen bare feet dancing against peeling linoleum. Yet, within this undulating sea of ladies cracking eggs and jokes, sat a middle-aged man. Round-bellied and balding, his fist clutching a drink, and his eyes glazed. A cigarette balanced between his fingers, the ash a mile long. Like a man waking from a nightmare, he shot his nodding head up when one of the girls hollered out,
"Hey, Joe, how did you say you liked your eggs done?"
Thanks for listening. My name is Lindsay Byron, but most people know me as Lux ATL. Learn more about my work, tits out globetrotting and mansions worldwide, at goodtimesbadgirls.com. Follow me on the gram and TikTok at Lux_ATL, on YouTube at LuxATL, and on Substack, where I blog weekly at Tumultuous True Stories by Lindsay Byron. If you'd like to hear more about my own experience slanging companionship across the South, read my memoir, Too Pretty to Be Good by Lindsay Byron. Find it on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, and anywhere books are sold online. Hey, if you'd like to continue to listen to me tell stories, check out my first podcast, Stripcast, True Stories from a Stripper with a PhD. Listen on Spotify and iTunes. Follow this podcast on the gram at HookerGate_podcast. Theme music and sound design by my long-term partner in artistic crime, Guy Kelly. You the illest, GK. Check out his work at GuyKelly.com. While this podcast is based upon real events, certain elements have been fictionalized for dramatic effect. I cannot know for certain what exactly was said behind closed doors, so I combine my research and imagination to dramatize scenes described most often under oath in court and, occasionally, secondhand via journalistic or personal accounts. Find citations in the show notes. The pitch for this podcast won the 2021 Next Great Podcast Competition, hosted by Tongle and iHeartRadio, which is why I'm here now producing this joint. My gratitude for the opportunity. HookerGate is a production of iHeartMedia.
This fucking dog.
What's cracking, y'all? Season 1 of HookerGate just started, and we're excited to share this forgotten scandal with you. We're also excited to tell you that you can now get exclusive bonus episodes and early access to new episodes of the show through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. iHeart True Crime Plus is the best place to get 100% ad-free episodes of Hookergate, plus other true crime shows you love, like The Piketon Massacre, Atlanta Monster, What Happened to Sandy Beal, and Sympathy Pains. So don't wait. New episodes are waiting for you. Subscribe to iHeart True Crime Plus today, exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.